we can determine whether or not.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, no matter where you're at, it's probably heater time at your house. I can tell you, we're up at Payson, and I'm closing down all the water system. I'm getting the horses back down to Phoenix where the grass is real tall and all that other kind of stuff. But it was a big chilly last night when I got here, and then, of course, this morning it is too as well. But nevertheless, this is for the next 2 hours. We're going to talk about cars, your car, your motor home, your trailer, anything you've got that's like that you have a question, and there's one of two answers I'm going to give you. Yes, I can help you, and no, I can't, but here's someone who can, and that's about it. So, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Brian and Thelma, and they're a Thompson family, and they own Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, and been around since 1970. All you have to do is meet Brian and Thelma, shake their hands, and you'll understand why they're on my list of the very best shops in the Phoenix area. They're honest, they're dependable, they have ASE certified technicians, they follow up, and they have a system where they notify you when your oil changes or do stuff like that. So they're on Main Street just east of Stapley, and unfortunately, I can only recommend one Mesa shop. Not because I want to, it's because I can't find shops that will pass the muster. And Thompson's obviously did, and virtually was a shoo-in anyway, because I knew their parents from, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So it was a pretty easy decision. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Okay, today, oh, gosh, I tell you what, I have had a couple of weeks that you just can't believe. But it's okay. Here's an email I got. Thank you more than once for your advice on the radio and an email. I know you've discussed tire life several times, but I don't see this question on your website or in your FAQs, which, by the way, is marksalem.com. I was just told by a chain tire store that Arizona law says they cannot repair a leak in a tire if it's over 5 years old. I've not heard that before. Naturally, they would want that law, but is it true? Okay. I haven't heard this either. And it's not the law, and it's not the truth. But I'll tell you what, I could have guessed who this was. It's a chain, and I'm going to tell you right now, just because one of the largest chains around here is Discount Tire. It's not Discount Tire, but you already know I work for them. You already know that I'm a technical guy, a mechanical guy that has worked for them in the past and answers questions to them when they have a question. When we put a set of tires on, does it have anything to do with the air conditioning working or not working? Those kind of questions are the issues they have to deal with. But I could have told you who this was. This is a pattern of information that comes down, and people look at you in the face and they say this stuff. I don't care if they believe it or not. I don't know if somebody pumped them full of a certain kind of air in the morning and then poured that information in their ear. I don't care. It's not true. Now, there is a 10-year kind of limitation on tires, and the tires, it's in your best interest to change them at 10 years or real quick. We know that a 10-year-old tire has a bad habit of blowing up, has a bad habit of losing air, has a bad habit of having abnormal tire wear. So we really don't want you to be driving around on 10-year-old tires. But there's no law that says you can't. Common sense says that it's not a good idea, but there's no law that says you can't. And there's no law that says that I have to deal with your tires. Now, when you bring your car in to my shop, we'll rotate your tires and stuff. And if we see that your tires are 10, 11, 12 years old, we're going to put it on your repair order, and we're going to ask you politely to initial it so that we can say we told you that. See, what happens is in my world of the legal world, the shop finds a 10-year-old tire. They swear that they told the customer that the tires were 10 years old. A year later, 6 months later, 2 days later, who cares? A tire blows out, people die. They go through the receipts in the glove box and they sue everybody behind him. Why didn't you tell me that I had 10-year-old tires? Well, our job, our industry's job, is to tell you you have 10-year-old tires and to talk to you about that's really a quasi-expiration. It's just in your best interest not to do that. Now, we have you sign a document on your repair order that says you acknowledge that we told you that, and if you don't, we just put the date and the time we told you. I've never had a customer of mine. None of the customers of mine have ever refused to sign that document. But here's a funny story. We did a restoration on a 1950 Chevrolet truck 100 years ago, and it's for a good friend of mine. And it was in his family. And so it was a flatbed. And as a matter of fact, it's such a really nice old truck. And it's really stock. It's just everything the way it is the way it is and the way it was. So even to the point where my youngest daughter was married and they were taken in this flatbed ranch truck from one part of the ceremony to the other. So we've been around. So he calls me and he says, you know, I'm getting ready to retire. This truck has been sitting around. Nobody's run it. Nobody started it for 100 years. He says, I want you, you know, to take it. So we take it over to the shop, and they call me, and they go, this has got tires on it that are more than 20 years old. I said, I don't know what to tell you. And so anyway, we ended up changing the tires because that's what's right. But the bottom line is that I think that's the record for us is 20-year-old tires. But admittedly, even he says, the thing hasn't run. I mean, it may have 10 miles on it in 20 years. He says it's such a huge operation to get it started, charge the battery, get it the choke to work, get it running, keep it warmed up, charge the battery. I had it on it. So obviously, it's not a real big deal if you're just going to use it once every 5 years to go to Circle K and take your old high school chum with you. So tires are important, but when we hear that somebody tells a customer they can't repair a leak in the tire if it's over 5 years old, what they're doing is they're saying to you, I'm going to tell you a story that's going to scare you and hope like heck that you buy a set of tires from me. I also want to tell you in the tire world that there's all kinds of games that people play on the tire world. Three for the price of four. Folks, come on. Do you really, really believe that if the tire costs me $100 or if it costs me $125 a piece, that I'm going to sell you three for the price of four? You don't think that money's going to disappear somewhere in the mounting or the balancing or the alignment I'm going to sell you or the road hazard package I'm going to sell you? It's just, the fact of the matter is that these fees and some of these charges and stuff are just created, and some of the things they say are to create it to enhance sales. It is possible, and I had a shop owner beat me up pretty good the other day, verbally, of course, in a polite way, that employees are, sometimes you have rogue employees, and typically they're the ones that are on a commission basis. And so it is possible that someone at my shop may have said someday something that wasn't true that would butter their bread. I don't remember that ever happening, but if it happened, I would accept responsibility for it, and there would be one more person on the unemployment line. And of course, I would investigate it thoroughly. Nevertheless, it's really important that you just pay attention to the three for four, and then lifetime guarantees, and it's always going to be prorated. And so when the tire gets down to 3/32nds, the new tire is going to cost you more than the tires you bought 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It's going to be that way. We don't do that for free, but our industry is really good at playing games. Come in, and we're going to give you lifetime oil changes. Oh, your car needs the $115 oil change. We're talking about the 1995. Well, there is no such thing as a 1995 oil change because the oil in the filter is more than $20. The bottom line is those are the kinds of things that they're going to do, the sleight of hand in front of you. So always look at the reviews of the shop, and most of the good shops are going to be 4 stars and north of that. And they're going to have more than 7 reviews, and they're not going to all 5 be glowing, recommended, highly recommended, best place I've ever been to kind of thing, because that was sister, brother, neighbor, brother-in-law, and mother. So it's just a matter of protecting yourself. Our industry is no different than any other industry out there, whether it's carpenters or plumbers or roofers or anything. Our industry is not full. I was going to say that, but that's not true. Our industry has its fair share of people who have decided that they're going to tell you something that butters their bread, tell you something that enhances your ticket, tell you something that isn't true, and they know it isn't true. So those are the kinds of things we deal with, and we have a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
Hey, hello to Brian.
Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. I bought a 2018 Chevy Colorado pickup, but I think it's got a 3.6 V6 engine.
2 minutes.
And, you know, I moved up about 17, 18 years in car models, and I'm really thrilled with the truck, but I'm a little worried about when you start it cold primarily, and I don't think it happens too much hot, but it's got what I call a backfire, and it's just like a mule kick, and it's like a boop, and it's fairly loud. It's kind of a thumping loud noise that's real quick, and I'm not getting a check engine light. I'm not getting anything on the dashboard. Runs out fine, accelerates fine, drives fine. I'm wondering what we got going here.
Well, is it coming from the engine compartment or the rear bumper?
It sounds like it comes from the passenger side, maybe even middle of the truck. But I, you know how sound travels in a vehicle. I couldn't guarantee it. But
just
a real bump. Kind of like that.
All right. Well, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to play with your climate controls. So you probably have your climate mm-hmm. controls set at one place. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering if when you start it up that we're flapping a door underneath the dash, it's going to be a heavy thump.
Mm.
And so I want you mm-hmm. to look where you're at, and I want you to shut off all your air conditioning and all your heater and everything. Let's let it do it for the next couple mornings. And then let's shut down mm-hmm. the AC the night before, shut down the climate controls completely, and then the next morning, if it still happens, if it's underneath the hood, or if it sounds like it's coming a muffled boom from the front of the dash, that's typically a backfire in the air cleaner. And if that's the case, then I would open up the hood, and I would take the air filter out, and just take it out and leave it out. I would also have a fire extinguisher close by on the very slight chance that if this backfire catches something on fire, and it hasn't so far, so it shouldn't. So the idea is now you're going to leave the hood open and the air filter's off. The next morning you're going to start it up, and then if it's coming out of the mouth of the throttle body or carburetor, so to speak, you're going to hear it and you're going to see it. And at that point, then we have to go in and figure out why we are. Is there an intake valve that's too tight? Is there an intake valve that's defective? Does an intake valve have a broken spring? And that obviously belongs to the responsibility mm-hmm. of the people on the warranty. But let's first determine if it's related to climate controls or not. Okay?
Okay, that gets me started. Thank you, sir.
You're more than welcome. 602-508-0960, and we'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Our lines, we have four lines open. Sonia's got one, but the 602-508-0960. If you want to give us a call and ask a car question or has settled an argument in your family about what oil's better, what gas is better, does it really make any difference if you do this or do that, I can handle all that kind of stuff. As well as if you've got a symptom, we can talk about the symptom and how you can better identify the problem or at least give more information to the shop that's responsible. Speaking of good shops, Larry Harker's Auto has been around since 1967. Bob and Ellen run Larry Harker's Auto. And from auto electrical work, brake service, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance, but they're really, really good at emissions problems, drivability problems, and hunting down a problem nobody else can find. So if you need to drive to 38th Avenue and Indian School to go to Larry Harker's Auto to find out why on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock your car hiccups three times in a row and no one else can find it, they can. 38th Avenue and Indian School, Larry Harker's Auto. Sonia, good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?
So our F-150 Platinum V6 needs a new battery, and I don't know what is the best one for kind of long periods of inactivity here in this hot climate.
Okay. It won't make any difference, Sonia. When you're in no activities and the car's parked somewhere, the truck's parked somewhere, and the key's inside the house and the windows are rolled up, the amount of electricity that we're using is really insignificant. And so it doesn't even equal a light bulb or anything. And most of the time it's the alarm system that's using that small amount of electricity. So your battery probably is 3 years old or maybe more. And if it's the original battery in it, then I would just buy, to be perfectly honest with you, I would shop price and name brand. But I want to tell you there's a really small amount of difference between one battery and the other, and it'll be a CCA rating, cold cranking amps. And that's the measurement of its ability. Now, if you have one that's 560 and then you have one that's 540, that's not a big deal. Don't buy that one.
Yeah. Well, I had done a little bit of research, and they had suggested this diehard AGM versus a wet battery or something, because they said this AGM is dry and has some kind of a fiberglass or some mat or something that is dry and, I don't know, was better with this hot climate. But okay. I don't know if you know about that or if that's all bunk or whatever.
So that is BS chatter on the internet. Everybody's an expert, and everybody knows what's going on. It's called a glass mat battery, and the other one is what we call a wet cell battery. I have both of those. A lot of times we buy the glass mat battery in a vehicle that's going to be experienced dirt road, like when my son drives up to the ranch, he's going to drive on a dirt road that he should be doing 20, and he's doing 100. And so the battery and the whole engine's vibrating. And so, and of course I make up stories as we go along. But the gas mat's also a good one if you're planning on really turning the vehicle like real hard left and not keeping the battery level. So like an off-road battery is a good gas mat. But you already know that the price between those two is a whole lot of money.
I was looking at Die Hard is like $209, and I was looking at a Delco, which was like $199. So it didn't make a bunch of difference.
No, I like Delco. I like Motocraft. And again, it's kind of like everything else. There's one or two companies that makes everybody's batteries, and they just all get a different tag. So it has a lot to do with the weight of the battery. So if you wanted to compare something, you'd compare CCA, cold cranking amp number, and the weight of the battery. The heavier battery is likely to be a slightly better battery. But I would go with a name brand so that you don't, if you get stuck in Farmington, New Mexico on a Sunday morning, there's going to be somebody that deals with a battery, unless it was a Salem battery that's only made and produced and sold in Arizona. And so,
okay. I think I'll go with that glass mat or whatever you called it.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, if,
so,
if,
because if, we have dirt roads too that we do.
Okay, and let me explain now. Thank you for the dirt road comment, but I'm talking about off-road Baja type stuff. Okay,
I'm
not talking about a washboard road because we have those up here in Payson. But if spending the extra couple $10-$20 puts you in a comfort zone, by all means, do that. The battery charging procedures typically. You're going to have the newer chargers are going to have a glass mat and a wet battery setting. But in reality, if you have to charge it, just try not to exceed 10 amps when you're pumping power to it, and you'll be just fine. Okay?
Okay. So let me just ask one last thing.
Sure.
So the last battery that we just are now replacing bubbled over and got a whole bunch of crap, you know, corrosion and terrible. Will that glass mat do the same thing?
Well, the first battery, everything was fine for a while, and then all of a sudden we had all kinds of corrosion. Is that right?
Because we spat it, yeah.
Okay.
But it was getting older. I mean, that one was getting older.
Okay. Well, I would certainly, first of all, usually they don't start gassing real bad unless we're overcharging them. And when we're overcharging them, it's because we've lost a good connection at the battery terminals. So if one of the two battery terminals gets corroded first and we lose that connection, then the information to the computer is a lie. And so the computer's going, oh, my God, the battery's got 11 volts in it. Ooh! And it turns on the alternator full blast, and the alternator overcharges the battery, and then it causes even more corrosion. And so this goes on and on and on because one battery connection is dirty. So don't let that be a factor in moving forward. It's not going to happen, but you need to have somebody do an electrical systems test on it, alternator, starter, amps and draws. That's something that most everybody does for less than $50. And it's a good check to make sure that you're not overcharging the battery. But if you have a voltmeter, here's the number you need to do. I don't want the voltage at high idle to be over 14 volts.
Okay.
Okay, at the battery, the motor's running.
Not over 14.
I mean, if it's 14.1, I don't care about that, but I sure don't want to see 15, okay?
Okay.
But you're going to change the battery, so you're going to clean up the cables with a wire brush and some baking soda and a garden hose, and you're going to be doing all that kind of stuff anyway. But I think that's what's really going on is we had a slightly bad connection. The alternator was being lied to by the voltage regulator and the battery connection, and it started pumping a little extra juice, and it kind of boiled some water out of the other number one battery. So thank you, Sony. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960 if you have a question or a call or a problem. 602-508-0960. My email is mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. I own a shop, and I've been an ASE Master Certified Technician since 1991. I also am an expert, and so I am called upon by both attorneys, both plaintiff and defense, and by the state of Arizona and the public defender's office, and by insurance companies and the insured. I play both sides of the fence. I don't play. I work for both sides of the fence, almost 50-50. I pick and choose my cases. I had a case that was presented to me the other day, and the attorney says, this is what I got, and this is what I need you to say. And I told him that I don't take, his car was red, and that I no longer take red cars as a subject matter. And basically, I'm just telling him, take off, goodbye. You're not going to put words in my mouth. If you want the truth, I'll give it to you, but you live and die with the truth. That's all there is to it. By the same token, there are times with insurance companies, they do the same. But the bottom line is, and what I'm trying to drive home is, I've got a lot of experience in this. And I'm not going to tell you anything, and this is not about my shop. This is about helping you work your way through the maze of different personalities and the different kind of shops that you're likely to come across. And I'm going to give you information that will help you listen, and you'll say, oh, Marks, I heard that before, and it wasn't good. And then you can pack your bags and walk out. We'll be back in a minute. We're 34 minutes after we are 10 o'clock. We're going to be here till noon, so you're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. I'm going to get to the phones, but right after I tell you about Automatic Transmission Exchange has been around Phoenix since 1968. Phil and Barney Rubble were friends. That's how long Phil's been in the industry. They're on 40th Street in Washington on the north side. There's an old transmission up on the sign, and you know it's been there for a long time because the city would have never allowed him to put that transmission up on that post, you know, in the last 20 years. So if you have an automatic transmission, if you have any kind of a transmission problem and you want some experts, then stop by Automatic Transmission Exchange. We call it ATE, and they're located at 40th Street in Washington. And ladies first, and then we're going to get to Richard and Tom. Patricia, you're up. How can I help you?
Mark, I listen to you every Saturday and been wanting to call for a long time.
Okay.
I'm working with a dealership with my car, a RAV4.
Okay.
And I'm really not happy with the service there. I feel like they're charging me more. I'm a single woman at this point. And so I wanted to call and ask you if there are garages. I live in the Peoria area. Someone in this area that you would recommend.
I want you to go to my website, marksalem.com, and click on Best Car Repair Shops. And I have a couple questions to ask you, and please don't identify the dealer. It could easily be a chain store, and it could be an independent shop. What's your average ticket price when you go in there?
It usually runs in the $200 to $500.
Okay. And how many times do they call you and tell you that you need this, this, or this, or this?
They only do that after I've been in there, so they don't call me all the time. But if I've been in there, and then they give me the car, and then they call back and say, you know, we kind of saw this too. But that doesn't happen often, to be honest.
Okay. All right. And under the best of conditions, are you going in every 5,000, 8,000, 10,000 miles?
Yeah, probably less than that. I go in more. The car is it's an 09. Okay. It's only got 100,000 miles on it.
Okay.
So I pretty much go in every few months back, you know, like every 3 months, and have them check and see what's going on. And generally they find something wrong, of course.
Okay. If you were my mama, I would say shame on you. You are walking in and you're saying, I'm scared to death. My car has 100,000 miles on it. Here's the keys. And you call me, and the higher the number, the more I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be in my happy zone. Don't tell me I need a $19 part or some wipers. Just put me back in my comfort zone. I think there's lots of shops out there that are going to treat you completely different. You're going to come in, and 100,000 miles, we're probably going to bring you in every 3,000 to 5,000 miles. We're going to look at your owner's manual.
Okay.
We're going to determine what to do in those stopping points. We're not going to make stuff up. We're not going to polish your headlights. We're not going to do all kinds of service work that you've never heard of before, like flushing your scoculator valve or flushing your valves or flushing your engine. You've heard flushing your cooling system, 10-4. We're okay there. But you're also going to say to them and learn this, please, show me in my owner's manual where it says I'm due for that. Because half of the stuff, I'm not talking about dealers, I'm talking about my industry. I'm talking about the dealers 50% of the time in my industry. The other half of the time, what you're being told doesn't exist. It's not something in your owner's manual. It's something somebody made up. We have equipment that's modeled to us. Mark, I'm telling you what, if you will just start flushing their rear view mirror liquid, and you charge them $29.95, and you tell everybody, this is going to make sure that it's never going to go bad, then, Mark, you're going to make money, because this actual machine only costs you, if you do it like 20 times a week, Mark, this machine won't even cost you a dollar. That's what I hear all the time. So I'm not going to beat up the dealers, because I already beat up the independent shops early in the show. And I'm telling you, but there are a couple of shops up in that area, and I'd like you just to know that when you go to MarkSalem.com and you hit Best Car Repair Shops, then hit Peoria, or look at the map, any of those guys up there. But I think you're probably going to come down to Harker's at 38th Avenue and Indian School. I think that's where you're going to end up. And when you walk in and meet Ellen, who is the co-owner, and you'll see that she's a cowgirl, and she's no BS, and the guys out in the shop aren't going to tell Ellen about cars, then you're probably going to find a home.
Okay, well, I'm going to have you just drop that by me one more time, and I'm not going to hear it, but then I'm still going to get on your website.
Okay, Harker's Auto. Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School.
Okay. So then, would you do one more thing?
Okay.
Would you please make sure you spell your last name for me, so if I go on the website, I know I've done it right.
Okay, it's Salem like the cigarette.
Okay.
S-A-L-E-M. Okie doke.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You betcha.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Richard, you're up.
Hello, Mark. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Just a quick comment. Unless I misunderstood, you were saying that the dealers, tire dealers, would love to sell, or they would not like to sell three tires for the price of four. Did I misunderstand that?
I'm saying it doesn't make any
sense.
Three
for the price of four sounds like a good deal for the dealer.
Well, if I said three for the price of four, I made a mistake. I meant they're going to sell you four for the price of three. I mean, they're going to give you a tire for free, but I screwed it up, didn't I?
No problem. My other question is, I had a boat with a big block Chevy engine in it with a Holley four barrel.
Okay.
And at one point, I switched out the carburetor, and I switched it out with a regular car carburetor. Then somebody working on it said they wouldn't work on it unless I used the marine carburetor. It was explained to me that with the overflow on a marine overflows in, and the auto overflows outside the carburetor. Is that correct?
No. That hasn't been correct since the 1960s.
Okay, well, it was an older boat, so...
Well, if the floats stuck, then on the old Holley carburetors and the old carburetors, we had a vent in the top of the bowl, and it would just put gasoline on the intake manifold. And sometimes it would catch fire. But,
right.
But so he has a carburetor that when it overflows, it's going to fill the engine full of gas.
Correct.
Okay.
That's what they explained.
All right. Well, first
I was just
of all,
wondering why they didn't do that for auto, so it wouldn't cause a fire, right?
No, the boats and the auto are the same category. I mean, you know, you can't separate the two like that. Besides, your boat is only going to burn to the waterline, and the car's going to burn all the way to the ground. So the idea is when we have an overflow, what are we going to do with the gas? And in the car atmosphere, we're either going to dump it down the intake and flood the engine and make it run really rich, or it's going to go into the intake manifold, and through the grace of God, if there's no spark, there won't be a fire. On your boat, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. First of all, I thought you were going to go on the Holly versus every other brand, but Holly makes a good boat anchor. Okay? Holly makes a good boat. And Holly is a great carburetor for me. Oh, I love Hollies. I love guys with gray hair with Holly carburetors because I'm going to see them on a regular basis. And I'll synchronize those things, and they'll be working great for the first 7.5 days. And then all of a sudden, everything will change. So, but anyway, the answer to your question is I wouldn't, that's the first time I've ever heard anybody say what you said that guy said. I've never heard that before, and I've never said it before, and if one of my technicians said that, even if we were working on your boat, him and I would have sat down and we would have discussed the possibilities of him being wrong or me being wrong. So, I gotta run, but thank you very much. It's interesting. Tom, you stay there. We'll be right back. Forty-four minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. We're going to be here for another hour. We're going to be finally over at noon, so you're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. And Tom and Heather, stay right there. I just got a little business to take care of. Geographically, I'm unable to put a really good garage in every portion of the city and the county. The Northeast Scottsdale area is an especially difficult area up there, but I do have a shop up there, and it's Blackwell Automotive, and they're at 40th and Greenway. Unfortunately, I can't find another shop that I really feel good about recommending. So if you're in that Northeast quadrant of Scottsdale, East Phoenix, and any Fountain Hills area, then Blackwell Automotive at 40th and Greenway is the only shop and the closest shop I can find. I've known Tom for 20 years. Him and I are two peas of a pod, and we both know what's right and wrong, and neither one of us is interested in listening to a technician try to convince us that it's really Saturday when it's not. And that's how it works. Tom, good morning. I'm sorry to make you wait as long as you did. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have a 2017 Jeep Compass, 150,000 miles. Started making a noise between a howl and a hum, about 40. The faster I go, the louder it is. And I've had people ride with me trying to narrow it down. So, you know, you would think, well, I could hear it in the front or the back. It just seems to be everywhere. How do I go about troubleshooting that, narrowing it down?
That's not hard on a 1 to 10 scale. That's a 3.
Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, teaching you right now is virtually impossible, but I'm going to talk as fast as I can. I'm going to get in the car, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to tell me how to make it happen. And when it's happening, I'm going to keep it there, and I'm going to listen to the noise, and I'm going to know whether it's related to the engine or the speed of the vehicle or the speed of the tires. I'll know that. And then I'm going to start messing around with that. So I'm going to take a swerving right turn at that speed or a swerving left turn, and I'm going to listen to the noise. And if it changes and it goes away on the left turn, but it's there on a right turn, then I know I have a wheel bearing problem. And if it's a tire problem, it's going to be there all the time, and it's going to get louder with speed. And if it's an engine mount problem, it's not going to be there because you don't have, that's not the environment. It's, you're going to see that. So a good gray-haired guy driving the car with you and him wanting to have you show him how to make it happen, then he takes the wheel. That's what you're looking for. What part of town do you live in?
Let's see. I'm out here in Buckeye on Tartessel.
Okay. I think I would go to S&S Tire, and I would say to them with a smile, can I borrow the grayest, grizzliest, most seasoned technician? And I promise I have a noise. I can make it happen, and I promise to only keep him for maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and I'll pay you for that time. That's what I would do. Now, they may refuse to take your money. I'm just preparing you for a lot of us don't, because people say they're going to borrow our technician. I had one lady keep one of my techs 51 minutes.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
So I would do that.
I'm sorry. Did I hear you say if it's a wheelbarrow and I can swerve to the right and the left and it'll change?
Yeah, that's correct. You're going down the street, going straight, and you can hear it, and then you take a sweeping right turn, and when you take a sweeping right turn, you're going to load the left front and the right left rear bearing. The car's going to tip towards that side, and it's going to take the weight off the right front and the right rear. But then what you got to do is you got to find out if it's the inner or outer, but more than likely your car has a packed unit, and you're going to replace both at the same time. If it's a tire, or there's a lot of other things, but the answer to your question is most of us guys with more than 10, 20 years of experience won't have any problem finding that tire, that vibrate, or the noise for you.
Okay. All right. I sure appreciate it, Mark. Thank you.
You're welcome. Heather, you're up. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. I'm calling. I have a 2016 Chevy Malibu with about 97,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And last day I was driving it home from Mesa. I live in Litchfield Park. And the check engine light came on. And then on Saturday, I took it to AutoZone just to have them plug in to see if they could find what the code was.
Mm-hmm.
And it came up that they said the most likely solution was to replace the O2 sensor. And then the next day, nothing drove differently with the vehicle. It seemed just fine, nothing crazy with it. And the next day, it went off, and it's been off ever since. That was last Sunday it went off.
Okay. And did you replace the O2 sensor or not?
I did not, no.
Okay. I like that the fact that the light went off, because that means the problem went away. I want to tell you and everybody else, just because the code says it's the O2 sensor,
right,
it means that I'm looking in that area and the O2 sensor is squawking. But the O2 sensor tells us something. And all it's telling us is whatever the report is, it's out of the square box. It doesn't mean the messenger should be replaced. It means we need to go in and talk to the messenger and say, hey, stupid. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you stupid. Mr. O2 sensor, listen, tell me what historically you're at. And he goes, well, Mark, you know that I'm supposed to be between 1 and 5, and I'm supposed to be at 2.5 all the time. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm sitting down here at 1. And I'm at 1 a lot. And every once in a while, I go back up to 3.5, 2.5 in the middle of the 1 to 5 zone. Okay, so you're down kind of low. Yeah, well, that's lean. So you're starving for fuel. Well, whatever you want to call it, Mark, but that's the number. So then I look and I go, oh, the fuel filter's plugged up. And so I replace the fuel filter, which removes the restriction from the fuel delivery, which makes the O2 sensor a happy camper. So I object to this. If I do lots of business with certain parts stores, they will send customers to me. I don't do business with those parts stores because the customers they sent to me, they have already laid groundwork. Oh, Heather, you have 4 oxygen sensors. We really should do all 4 at the same time. And Heather, Mark, he's a good guy. Take it over to him. Well, 4 oxygen sensors is $1,000. And guess who gets to where I buy the oxygen sensors from? From the little kid down at the auto parts store who told you he could diagnose the car with the code when I can't do that. So you can tell that my underwear's kind of wadded up right now, but that's okay. I like it that the light went out, and I want you to do nothing at this point. Nothing. This could have easily been the weather. It could have easily been an injector that temporarily went rich or lean. It could have been something on the EGR valve that it had a piece of carbon underneath the EGR valve, and then all of a sudden that carbon went into the exhaust and out the tailpipe. There's so many variables, but for you to spend money at this time is just foolish.
Okay. And I have one last question.
Sure.
Is the fuel filter, is it in the fuel tank?
No, your Malibu, the fuel filter is going to be down underneath the car, but it's going to be on the line that goes to the engine. So from the fuel tank to the engine, it'll be on that line.
Okay.
But I'm not suggesting you replace the fuel filter either. Here, let me tell you why. Do you ever go fast?
I do.
Okay, good. I needed a yes. The fuel filter will restrict the fuel demand. So the engine will say, give me an 8, and the fuel filter says, I'm doing the best I can, and it goes, no, you're only 6. And the fuel filter says, I'm trying to send you 8. Well, that means the fuel filter's plugged. And so at 60, 70, 80, 90 miles an hour, you're not supposed to be up in those, then there's going to be a difference. So if a fuel filter really is bad, you're going to know it because you're going to get to a point where you can't go any faster. That's it. That's all the fuel that's being delivered. It's 62% of the fuel you need. Let's pretend it gets you to 62 miles an hour. But that's okay. That's fuel filter supposed to be done on a basis based on your oil changes. And I'd say every 4 or 5 oil changes, at every 25,000 miles, I'd probably replace the fuel filter. That would be a good round figure. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
You betcha. It's a tough life working on cars. But you know what the best part about working on cars is the satisfaction you get when you get a car that nobody else could fix, according to the owner. And a lot of times that might be fibbing a little bit, but you get a car, it takes a significant amount of talent. You might even need to use the guy in the bay next door to you to kind of help you out. The two of you get together. Ooh, look here. And the best part of it all, we're not driven by money. Most of us aren't, is we have to pay and replace this piece of rubber vacuum line, and we can fix this problem nobody else could find. Now, you don't brag about it and thump your chest at the beginning. You say, we found a piece of a vacuum line that had deteriorated and was leaking. We hope this is it. We reset your car back to normal, and if the check engine light comes on and the same code comes on, then you bring it back, and we're not going to charge you for the diagnosis. We're going to continue the diagnosis. So I'm not going to charge you twice for something like that. All right, who's next, Gil?
Say hello to Mike.
Mike, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, great. I got a couple things. Hopefully you can help me out. First thing, I had a Lexus 08, 175,000 miles on it. What is the parameters for new struts? Like the boots are ripped in the front.
Okay.
I mean, what are going to be some symptoms?
Now, you're talking about the axles or the struts?
It's a rear-wheel drive car, just the struts in the
okay.
front.
Okay. Well,
looks
those
like
are
the boots are ripped.
Well, the boots are just dust boots. But at 128,000 miles or 175,000, I can tell you this much. If you say yes to put in a good set of struts, you don't want the premium diamond plate, gold plated yeah. ones. You want something in the 75% range. And when you get them, you'll say, wow, it really drives nice. On the other hand, okay. if there's no abnormal tire wear and no. you're not complaining about a double or triple bounce as you go over a crack in the road, then you can decide what you want to do.
No, I have none of that.
Okay.
Now, real quick, I got a couple other things, but if I do buy them, do they come preloaded?
It doesn't
or
make
do
any.
They have to be.
You're talking about can I replace the cartridge or should I replace the strut with the spring? That's
no,
what you're.
I want the whole unit.
All right, then just tell them you want the strut and the spring. You want the whole unit.
Okay.
Now, and right, stop. Hold on. I know I'm up against a break here, but I can carry you over till the next
yeah,
segment.
That'd be great. I got
okay.
two other questions.
Okay. All right. Well, let me answer this. If the headlights are in the same place they always were and nobody's had to raise them up, and if you said to yourself, oh, the headlights are good and they're still shining way out in front of me, then the ride height of the car hasn't changed any and the front springs set the ride height. So if you go, Mark, ironically enough, I just took it in the other day and I told him, you know, those headlights are a little low and they raised them up. Well, the springs are going to raise them up higher and that's what's going to happen.
Well, the car has automatic
road leveling,
balancing.
Yeah. And so the issue is most everybody's going to, if you want to buy the spring and the shock, you're home free. Everybody will kind of push you towards that anyway, but that's okay. Yes, the spring and the shock with an alignment, you'll be fine.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I have two other questions.
All right, you're going to have to hang on to those and get them, bring them together because I'm just, let me see here, 30 seconds away from having to take the top of the hour break. We have open lines available. We have four of them, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You're welcome to call in, and we talk about this kind of stuff. I've had a couple of 175,000 mile cars, and I've had another one up here that had 100 and some odd thousand miles, 150, 170. Here's the deal: those cars are really good, and those engines will last until they're overheated or run low on oil. That's the way it is. Most all of the engines that my shop replaces, it's because of the person behind the wheel ignoring some really strong symptoms of pending doom. Clattering, oil light on, overheat gauge pegged, stuff like that. So if you can avoid running it low on oil, and you can avoid a major catastrophe with a cooling system failure, then chances are the engine will go well past that. And obviously you don't get to 150 and 180,000 miles on an engine or a transmission unless you're taking care of them. But don't think that you can take care of them really a lot, because they'll love you and last longer, and they won't. They don't know what love is, so over-maintaining your car is just a waste of money. We'll be back in a minute. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem. We've got two people on hold, and we got three lines open. Gil is the one that runs our show. He's the engineer. He's the traffic cop. He's the pilot of the airplane. I sit in the second-class section, and I just sit around. Sometimes I'm in my underwear. I hate to put this picture in your mind, but on Saturday morning, sometimes I haven't brushed my teeth. And
I'll just walk right by you, Mark. As the pilot, I'll just walk right by you.
And Gil says, as the pilot walks by you, Mark, he doesn't want nothing to do and talk to you. Anyway, Gil's the one that makes the whole show really work well, and he gets to talk to me quietly in my ear. And he knows a few bad words. He really does. Anyway, let's go to Mike real quick and finish up. Mike, you've got that 08 Lexus. You got 175,000 miles, and you got two more questions. I'm ready.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Mark. Yeah, this is alternator. Okay, we put a new alternator in it about 2 months ago. The other one started smoking. Put it in, and it just shaved my son one whisker, put it in. Something happened. Either way, the light stays on. The red battery light comes on.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the bus fuse got melted. For the whole fuse thing, which we replaced, the big bus fuse, you know, that has, it connects from the battery, that big main fuse.
Okay, what's the problem? All redone. What's the question?
Well, here's the thing. When the car is idling, when I put my voltmeter on the battery, the volts are all over the place. It's going down to 12.3, up to 13.2, 12.3. We put the voltmeter right to the alternator, right to the terminal, to the frame. Same thing.
Okay.
The voltage is all over the place, plus the light won't go off.
Okay. I don't test things like that, so there's nothing of meaningful value. There's a good chance that he didn't disconnect the battery before he took that alternator off.
Probably not.
Okay. So there's a good thing.
Everything else has been replaced on the side.
Mike, it doesn't make any difference. You can keep talking, and it's not going to change it. If the bus fuse blew, we had a dead short ground, and the alternator's probably not going to work. It's got at least one of the diodes out of it. That's why it's keeping the light on, and your voltages are all... Now, normally, without the bus fuse blown and this big calamity going on, I probably would want to take a look at that myself, because I don't know what kind of digital voltmeter you're using, how sensitive it is, or is it taking a snapshot of 1 second and posting the information on the screen? I don't know. So let's move on past the alternator. You had one other question.
Oh, that was it. I was just wondering if the alternator would just be running at like 13, 14 normal in a normal car.
It's going to run between dead battery voltage and probably 14 volts. So if the key's in your pocket and the headlights are off and you hit the battery and it's 12.8, then it's going to be north of 12.8. And somewhere between 12.8 and 14 volts is what you're going to see at the battery. But I got to run. Thanks, Mike. Allie, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, if you were to hire a new technician, what technical school here in the valley would you like to see on their resume?
It's nice to have that, and there is AAI is my favorite one, and there's some community colleges that also have some automotive classes that someone can take. More important than where they came from the school, you see, when they go to school, and I'm going to speak for just myself, I know I have, over the last 40 years, I have been around that, and there are teachers in there that are rogue teachers, and there's teachers in there I wish worked for me. And so the spread is rather immense. There's also a cost associated because there's schools in Phoenix that charge these kids $50,000 and $60,000 for an education. And the kids are really well learned by books, but when it comes to actually doing the work, it's a little different story. And I hate to see a kid start with a $50,000, $60,000 debt. However, there is a young man that just recently came out of the other school on the west side. He got a job at the local Chevrolet dealership, and I talked to the service writer or the service manager, and he said, this kid is a homer. He said he is just as good as they come. He has an understanding of fundamentals. He said he is just gets it. And he says he's going to be one of our top techs in no time at all. Now, that's one out of every 50 probably who just has a natural talent. But I want experience. So I want the kid to come out, and I want him to work at the tire store and at this light duty place. I want him to work at the lube center. I want him to be kind of well-rounded and had some industry time as opposed to book time. And so that's kind of what I would want. But I don't speak for all the shops out there. I wouldn't do that.
Okay. All right.
Did I get it?
I appreciate that. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome, Hallie. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'm going to get that in just a second. Kurtz Automotive has been on my repair list, best shop list, for, gosh, I don't know how long. He's at I-17 in Bell Road. I can just tell you this. When I send somebody to Kurtz and they have a problem either nobody can find or somebody bid it really high or whatever, I don't know that ever anybody's ever called me back and be mad and mad at me or mad at Kurtz. Now, yes, both of us have had customers who have been mad at us at a time, and I think both of us are really good at making those people friends again. It's just a matter of getting to the bottom of it and figure out who's mad at why and why. And a lot of times if the customer when we're faced with a customer in front of us who demands a refund, it's not really the money. It isn't the money. It's, do I want to keep you? That's it. If you're a loudmouth SOB and you're using bad words like I just did, and you're yelling and screaming, and I can clearly tell that you've been talking to the three-whiskered kid down at the auto parts store, and half of what's coming out of your mouth is BS, and I'm just listening to it, I don't want you. And I'm probably going to tell you no. I'm not going to give you a $7.50 or a $75 refund. On the other hand, if you're really nice and you're clearly conflicted about all the information you've got and you're willing to give me the break, give me a break on this one, I'll write the check. That's what it's really all about. It for me, it has everything to do if I want to keep you. And if I look and you're a brand new customer and this is the first time you're in and you're mad because we rotated the tires, and when we checked your brakes, then okay, goodbye. Find another shop. The flip side of the coin is I've got people that have been doing business with me for 40 years, and they walk on water. And when they want something, they better get it, as far as Mark Salem's concerned. So it is an issue that has everything to do with that. And Kurtz is one of those shops. He's at I-17 in Bell. Okay, who's next?
Tony is next.
Tony, good morning. How can I help you?
Morning. I had a little issue last night. My daughter-in-law borrowed I have a 2018 Dodge Ram, 5.7 Hemi.
Okay.
And she accidentally put diesel in the tank and drove 2 miles home.
Okay.
I'm wondering if I have to take it to the dealership, or is there something I can do at home to, like, siphon the tank, or is it going to cause serious issues I needed to take, or if there's a shop around here, maybe.
Well, how much did she?
I live in Buckeye.
Okay, how much did she put in it?
She put in 6 gallons. Okay, $25. You know how much diesel is these days. So.
Fair enough. And how full was the tank?
The tank was pretty empty.
Okay, well, I'm going to think out loud here. She drove it home. Okay. So we're not in stress here. We're not. This is not a heart attack that's happening. She drove it home.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, she got down the road. She got down the road, and she said that it started bogging down.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. That's I expect to that. But there wasn't any no engine noise. There was. She got home one way or the other. She got home.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Let me just explain the procedure. When you take it to the shop, we're going to siphon everything out of the tank, and we're going to replace the fuel filter. We're going to put some gas in it, and we're going to go drive the heck out of it, and then we're going to give it back to you.
Oh.
That's what we're going to do. Now, the fact that it's still running, and it probably would start right now, and it's going to have it's one of those things that when you get it back after you have it repaired, a good thing to do would be take your wife to Flagstaff and stay overnight.
Amen.
Oh, there you go. See? She called first, Tony. She called first. And the reason I'm saying that is because I need to get that catalytic converter good and hot. And I want to, okay. And I know that I'm going to be sending a little diesel fuel downstream. And I don't want to take a chance. But the shop tilted the car to the left, or whichever side the filler neck's on. If it's on the driver's side, we tilt it to the left, and then we stick our siphon tube in there. And sometimes we just drop the tank and empty the son of a gun out.
Yeah.
So the only thing, and it's got a 1 in 50 chance that you might have a cat code or an oxygen sensor code down the road. But as long as it idles good and runs good, if I got a yellow check engine light, I'd reset it and I'd drive it. If it came back again, then I'd have somebody deal with it. But I'm thinking Little America, Flagstaff, overnight, candlelight dinner. How am I doing, Mom?
That's great.
Okay.
Great. All right. so you think it's safe for me to drive up to the shop or something, or just I could probably get one of those siphoners and siphon it out myself as best I can and then fill it up and then just try to run it hard for a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, how far is the shop?
Well, I'm in Buckeye, so, I mean, there is a couple shops up there.
Something within a mile?
It's about 2 miles.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't have a problem having it towed, too, just to be on the safe side.
I would be more comfortable. I think you're much better off in having it towed. I think it's much better off, and I think you need to interview the shop before you tow it there.
Okay.
So you call them up, and please allow me. My daughter put what I think is about X amount of gallons of gas in a tank that already or diesel in a tank that da-da-da. And so she drove it home, and with the exception of this little hitch, it still runs. So can you ballpark for me what it's going to cost, and tell me what you would do if this was your truck and I'm on the other end of the phone. Well, I'm either going to pull the tank or I'm going to siphon it out, and I'm going to drop a camera down in there. We all have those fancy cameras. So I'll drop a camera down there, and I'll see that, I need to lift the front up and tilt it towards the driver's side because that corner is the one I didn't get. and so I'll do that. And then I'm going to fill it full of gas, and I'm going to replace the fuel filter at the same time, and then I'm going to go drive it to make sure that when I give it back to you, the check engine light isn't on. And all of that is going to cost you an easy $200. And if they have to pull the tank, it's going to be $300.
Okay.
That's not as bad as it
was. Now, I'm thinking the worst, you know. I take it to the dealership, and now if I have problems down the road, my warranty is going to be voided for motor issues or whatnot. But
well, this happens a lot, and I want to tell you, motor issues down the road, either you got them or you don't. Okay, that's all there is to it. If she hurt that motor, then it's hurt now. So this is not anything that somebody 3 months, 3,000 miles, or 3 years later is going to go, you must have put diesel in this thing. We're going to void your warranty. Of course, I wouldn't put it past independent shops of saying that, or dealerships saying that, or whatever, chain stores saying that. But I think if you have a receipt and you say, wait a minute, I've driven that. This happened at 31,000 miles, and I got 81,000 on it. 50,000 miles ago, you're going to void my warranty because you said that you knew that I put diesel in it 50,000 miles ago? Okay, well, I'm going to go get the Eagle or the Beaver, and he's going to call you and talk to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Well, you made me feel a lot better. I appreciate it because
course, it was doom and gloom last night. I had to go to work this morning, take my wife's car, so I appreciate that. I'm going to get right on it.
Okay, but wait.
I appreciate your info and your help.
I understand what you're saying, but is there any other apologies to the young lady that did this accidentally?
She's stressed out, but we'll talk to her, and I'm sure she'll...
She'll be happy. I want to tell you something. The majority of the people that do that are supposed to be a lot smarter than they showed then. And I want to tell you, this happens all the time. Now, I also want to tell you, my 42-year-old son's done this I don't know how many times. He drives a diesel truck and a gas truck and blah, blah, blah. So when you look at the big picture, and I want to tell you that I'm standing up. My right hand is in the air. And I must confess that I've done this twice, and I also put a whole bunch of gas, a whole bunch of diesel in one of my gas tractors. So I must confess. And it was probably your wife's fault anyway, Tony. It's probably her fault, so skip the Flagstaff trip. Okay, buddy?
Okay,
thank you very much. I got to run. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You know, in 1988, I put together the best car repair shops list, and it's because I know these guys, and my list has been through the test of time. It's a good list, and on my website it says that if you have a problem with one of my shops and they don't perform as they're told by some dispute resolution place, then I'll pay for your car. I'll pay for your car, and I think the number's like $2,000 or $5,000. I don't even remember because I've never paid it. So the idea is, and a good example is Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley, family-owned, operated. I've known Tom since 1983. He has master certified technicians, and he's a good guy. So if you're anywhere near I-17 in Deer Valley, he's on the northwest corner, Action Auto Repair, great shop. Caroline, you're next.
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hi.
Do you know anyone that's good in the East Valley?
Yes, ma'am. What part of town are you live? Give me major cross streets.
Main Street between Greenfield and Higley.
Okay, I have a really good shop called Thompson's Auto Repair that's on Main Street and Stapley, just east on the south side of the road. Brian Vivian comes from the Vivian family that started pumping gas and fixing cars in the 50s and the 60s in Mesa. And Brian Vivian's uncle, Ken Vivian, hired me when I was 15 years old, and I worked at his Shell gas station, so I've known that family that long. Now, his wife is also from a family, and I knew Cecil Thompson, and I knew all those guys that had Shell stations back in Mesa back then as well. So both of the husband and wife have come together and brought two families that started in the gas station business, certainly in the 50s and the 60s in Mesa. So they're going to be around, and when you walk in and shake their hand, you'll know why I recommend them.
All right. I've heard of them. You know, that brought back a memory. Well, thanks for that. I have a question about the Kia proposed class action settlement suit for all these engine failures. Do you know anything about that? I've got a Kia Optima 2013 2.7 liter.
Okay.
And I took it to a mechanic, and he said, by the time I repair everything, you just put a secondhand engine in, it'll be cheaper. And I owe $4,000 on the car, so I don't want to just, you know, dump the car.
Yeah. What's it doing now, though? Let's get to that first. What's it doing now?
Well, it's been parked for over a year because I had to leave the country.
Okay.
I'm probably way too late for this class action suit. But when I was turning it on, it was hard to start it. It would sort of rumble and shake and then nothing, and then I'd have to keep turning the ignition, nothing, nothing, and then it would start. And then it got to the point where it felt like it was, you know, an army tank.
Okay, so it was running rough.
Down the road
very
rough.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what we need. All right, and did it use oil, or did you see oil coming out of the tailpipe?
I don't think there was oil coming out of the tailpipe, but
smoke.
I never looked, to be
honest. Blue smoke. You would have noticed.
No.
I think what I disagree with what little I know about the advice you've been given. I think that should go to the dealer. I think you should let them look at it. And I think you have a 50-50 chance of them saying, this is a known problem. We are providing assistance. The next question is tell me what you're going to pay and what I'm going to pay. And oftentimes, it's going to be prorated based on the mileage on the car. So if your car has small amount of mileage, they pay the lion's share of the bill. But if
about 185,000 miles.
Okay, you have to understand that that's 8 times around the equator. So that's, I mean, it's 200,000 miles. It's not like you've been sitting in the same bar stool for the last couple of years. I'm kidding you, of course, okay? But I think you belong there. I don't like used engines because the used engine has the same problems yours did.
Right. I don't know what I'm getting, and there's no warranty. I think there's no guarantee or warranty on it. So if I pay $1,500, it blows up, then I'm stuck.
Well, and oftentimes the warranty is prorated again, and it'll only cover the part but not the labor. And, of course, taking an engine in and out is the big dog line item. So and there are plenty of rebuilt cars. And then what happens if we found a newer model one that was a direct interchange and it had already had these problems fixed in a wrecking yard? So if we went in and did our research and said, hey, anything made after February of 17 is fixed. Oh, look at this one was crashed in 18 and it had 65,000 miles on it. Bingo, that might be Caroline's motor. So there's a little bit of work.
What's it like for getting parts now, Mark? Because isn't the inventory really, is it bad?
No,
because
part
of the shortage of parts?
That is true right now, but this is going to blow over. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think that many shops are using that excuse, and it's not true. We have two full-time parts guys that handle 20 bays. We do lots and lots of work. It is true that every once in a while we have to change the part number to find the part. So I need a starter that's a 1234, but that's the number of the brand. So then I cross that number and it's an A, B, C, D, E, and oh, there's one of them over here. So sometimes you have to change the part number. Sometimes you have to do a little creative bookworking. But yes, my business is impacted. We deal with this kind of an issue maybe 5 to 10% of the day. The rest of the time, it's blow-and-go cars. So
Mark, this is I just got the Dial Patriot Radio I love station, and I just heard your program today for the first time, and if I could be a mechanic, I would love to be. I'm just into all this. I want to know how things work. But where are you located? Where are you located?
No, you.
Well, I'm on Main between Greenfield and Higley, I'm also in Northeast Phoenix.
It's
a long story.
All right, no problem. I'm at Warner and I-10. So I'm in Tempe near the that furniture company down at the end of the road there.
I know where you mean.
Yeah.
You're near the dealership of the Kia.
Yeah.
1 minute.
Yeah, we are.
And I haven't had all my work done at Kia dealership, to be honest with you. I didn't have good experiences. I tried three of them.
And let me explain. So, you're not obligated, whether your car is new or not, to have anybody do anything. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to go wherever you want, and they can't void your warranty. If you want to drive that far, we can certainly answer the question is are you part of the, what's wrong with your car, and is that part of some problem? And if so, then usually our parts department and certainly our management team, which is my daughter and my son, they know someone at a dealership that they can call and say, well, would you take this car by the hand for us? So we have that. And if you're going to go to Salem Boys Auto is the name of it, then you're going to ask for Andy or Alan. Andy or Alan.
B-O-Y-D-S?
Alan. Andy is A-N-D-I. That's my daughter. Uh-huh. And she bosses around her older brother, and his name is Alan. And yes, it's boys, B-O-Y-S. But we're not here to sell you a motor. We're here to help you take the next step in intelligent things. So a little bit of what's going on and a little bit of identifying, because we have all the computers and the software necessary to figure out what this recall is all about or what this this problem is. Are you part of the problem or not? And they can help you, okay?
The only problem is I need to tow it. It's not drivable.
And you would use your road service, and you would call them, and they would send a tow truck, and then they would deliver to us.
Okay. All right.
All right, got to run. Thank you very much. All right, I'm up against a break. I got to go. Bye.
Well,
Welcome back, everybody. 33 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and the lines are open, 602-508-0960. There's a place in Sun City called Auto Dynamics. I've been around Chuck Nide since 1968. Now, Chuck, in that era, was like many of the other gas station guys, a little on the rough edge side, but I can tell you this much. It's not that way now for me or for him. So if you say you're in Sun City and you want the most trusted repair facility, I'm going to send you to Auto Dynamics, the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. I know him and his family, and I know he's a good guy, and I know they can fix cars and do a good job at it. So that's Automotive Dynamics, north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. And I'm looking at my screen and looking at my clock, and that's the reason why I had that little hiccup. Let's go to the phones. Elaine, good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. First, I wanted to tell you, thank you so much for doing this show. I enjoy it in every kind of way.
Thank you.
What I'm calling about is I have a 2010 Mazda 3, and it has developed a vibration between 40 and 50 miles an hour. So the vibration isn't violent, but it's noticeable, and it's really disconcerting. And okay. It's something I can feel in the seat and in the gas pedal. It's not something I'm feeling through the steering wheel.
Okay. What part of town do you live in?
I live in North Central, Union Hills and Cape Creek.
Okay. I would take it to Tom Blackwell's, Blackwell Automotive, 40th and Greenway. And I would tell Christy, his right-hand person, that Mark Salem said there's no way in God's green earth that Blackwell can tell you what's vibrating on the car, but we thought we'd give him a chance. And here's you know, if you were in front of me, I would have given you a hug, because this is what we don't hear. You answered all my questions before I got to ask them. And so you're telling me it shakes the whole car, because you feel it in your pedals, we feel it in the steering wheel, and you feel it in your butt. So it's shaking the whole car. So that helps us so much. Now, the only thing that you could do, you get along 45 miles an hour or whatever, you get it to happen. Then when you take your foot completely off the gas, it's still there?
It stops.
It stops.
When I'm coasting, it stops vibrating.
Even though you're moving?
Even though I'm moving.
Okay, fair enough. So you can demonstrate that pretty easy. That's not going to be one of those that you're going to take the technician for a ride and say, well, we have to drive it 17 and a half miles, and then we have to go to this Dairy Queen, and then we have to get out. You don't do that. But this should not, on a 1 to 10 scale, I think this is the 3 or a 4. And especially if you can get Tom or one of his... If you get Tom or one of his guys sit next to you first, and they should say, you show me, you drive it, you show me.
Okay.
Then I want to switch places, and I want to make it happen. And I'll tell you what, there is a 75% chance that a technician that drives it, when he's on his way back to the shop, he already knows where to look. Because we're that good. And Blackwell, you just tell him Mark Salem said you don't have a prayer in hell of diagnosing this, so you better, you know, send me to your best technician. And he'll probably crawl out of his office and come and drive your car. But anyway, that's what I would do. He's a good guy.
That sounds good. Hey, Mark, is this safe to drive, like if I'm dashing from my house to QT?
I don't know the answer to that, but let me dive in a little deeper. So you're driving down the road. When does the vibration come? What speed?
It comes between 40 and 50, and it stops at 50. If I'm on the freeway and I'm at 60, I'm not feeling it. It's between in that 40 to 50.
Okay, it's in the drivetrain. Ha ha, we're halfway there. And when it makes the vibration, can you feel it in the steering wheel?
No, I feel it in my butt and then up through the gas pedal.
Okay, good. I think, now, here's what I want you to try. This is going to, now, listen to me carefully. You're driving along, and your right foot, you're at a specific speed, and it's happening, okay? I want you to take your left foot and gently apply the brake till you feel it grab a little bit. You're going to have to concentrate on this. Just gently apply the brake. Now, here's what my madness is telling you. I want the transmission to get into overdrive and lock up. So you have speed 1, 2, 3, then you have overdrive, and then you have lockup, which is 4 and 5 gears, okay? We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is I'm having you get to where you're in the vibration, and then I'm having you touch the brake pedal, which disengages lockup and overdrive, and it goes away. That's a transmission problem. That may be bad news, but you walk in and you say, here's what I do. I go this fast, 51 miles an hour, and I feel it in the seat of my pants, and I feel it all over the car. And I take my left foot, and I just gently apply the brake pedal, maybe enough to shine the lights, but not enough to slow it down. And all of a sudden, magically, the car is smooth. And then I let go, and I count to about 10, and here comes the vibration again. How many miles on it?
I'm bumping up against 160.
Okay. If now this doesn't necessarily mean this needs a whole new transmission. It could just need a torque converter. But if you take the torque converter out and you dump it out and it's all full of metal, now it needs a transmission. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there, okay?
Got it.
1 minute.
Now that helps a ton. Thank you so very much.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. Elaine? The reason why I asked Gil to ask you if you were a friend of mine is I have two friends of mine that are named Elaine. And it's I wouldn't put it past them for them to call and give me some kind of a convoluted story about a car problem that their husband's helping them talk about in an effort to just have me not know which direction to go. So that's why I said, do you know Mark? Because if it was a yes, I would be prepared.
Super funny.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Elaine. All right. Thanks. We're going to take a break. 602-508-0960. If you'd like to jump in, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. Well, 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday here on KKNT at 10 o'clock to noon, we're talking about car and car repair stuff. Been doing this since 1988. I'm a master tech, and I've been in the auto repair business since 1979. And when I was in high school, I worked at Ken's Broadway Shell at Priest and Broadway. And so I've got a lot of years of experience. And I also have worked for many, many wonderful shop owners who have taught me a lot. And I've also worked for a couple that taught me what not to do. So I have experience on both sides. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is a great shop. They're up in North Phoenix, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Nate is Strictly Diesel, but he says quietly, if you have a diesel, we work on your diesel, and your wife's car needs an oil change, we can take care of that. So Strictly Diesel, Nate, he's one of the best guys I know, and he knows Dodge, Chevys, and the Rams like no one else I know. He's really, really good. North Phoenix, Pinnacle Peak Road, and I-17. And if you call and leave a message, he'll typically call you back. Just try to control the amount of time you take of his. He said not too long ago he had a 51-minute phone conversation, and that costs a lot of money. So, you know, a question, an answer, a little bit of discussion, thank you very much, is kind of what the ideal thing would be. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Okay, 602-508-0960. If you want to come in, you've got about 10 minutes. So if you'd like to try us, 602-508-0960. And, John, you're up next.
Yeah, I've got a 2002 Blazer S10 with a V6 in it, and it was missing slightly, so they told me to replace the cap and the rotor, and I did that, and then it started missing worse. And now they're telling me, well, it's probably the fuel injection needs to be replaced. Is there a test so you can make sure what it is?
Who don't give me the name or whatever. Who is telling you this? Is this something on the internet where you're in a room with
No, it's a mechanic. My mechanic.
Your mechanic just went from an electrical issue to a fuel issue?
Yeah.
Well, I'd get rid of him. I'd fire that guy if he was working for me. First of all, that's the very first thing you have to do, is you have to find out if somebody's got a misfire, too much air, too much fuel, too little fuel, and an errant spark problem. That's the first thing you got to do. So he thinks it's a good idea that let's do cap and rotor. Oh, that isn't it. So let's do this. Oh, that isn't it. And now let's flush your fuel injectors. Well, that's the worst of our industry. That's the worst of our industry. And so, I mean, I can't tell you what's wrong with it, But I can tell you on a 1 to 10 scale, this is about a 5. So it just doesn't take that long to figure out what it is. But obviously, we have engine analyzers and handheld scanners that cost me more than my first house in 1973 for $33,000. So, I mean, we do have, and there are so many shops in the valley that have the same equipment, and a couple of them probably more than me. But, you know, I think what you should do is rather than having somebody with a Ouija board guess about what your problem is, I think you should have it diagnosed. And I think you should look at the shop in the eye and say, you're sure about this diagnosis, right? I might want to do this repair myself. So you need to do that. But I would be no better than him guessing whether it's fuel or spark, because the symptoms of an errant spark or a bad spark plug or a bad wire or a bad cap or a bad rotor can very well be, if you have fuel injected, the same as an injector. But to replace both of those, what happens if you get to both of those and you find out that what's wrong is that the breather element is stuck, and the breather element's $22, and the PCV valves has collapsed, and so has the hose. I mean, we're going to fix that for $50 after you spent hundreds or thousands. So it's not a good idea to have somebody diagnose your car over the phone or over the net, because they're no better at guessing than I am, and they probably don't have a Ouija board as good as mine. So what part of town do you live in? Can I offer you some help?
I'm in North Tempe.
Okay.
And the car is, you know, is barely drivable. Is it going to hurt it to drive it like that? Or,
well,
you know, or do I need to go to where I want to get it? Where you're telling me to go?
Okay. I can't tell you if it's good to drive because I don't know what's wrong with it. Let me just think here for a minute. I don't have, you know, one of my best car repair shops up in that area. I'm way down south in Tempe. I'm trying to think of, I'll tell you what, do this. Can you write down my email address, mark@marksalem.com?
mark@marksalem.com.
Yep. Send me an email, and I'll find a shop in your area that's not part of my list, but I do know a lot of the owners, and I'll put you two guys together.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay.
And then we'll decide what we're going to do after that. All righty. Anyway, we've got to find out what the problem is first. Then we've got to put an estimate to it. Then you have to say to the shop owner, you're sure about this diagnosis, because I'm not going to spend $200 or $800 or $1,100, then find out that you say, oh, well, it's still there. It's probably the transmission. And so, you know, you don't want to make sure, but that's what I'm going to try to do. So I'm going to try to find somebody to help you. Oh, you know what? You know what? I'll tell you right now. Bell Automotive on the Pima and McDowell. Bell Automotive, Pima Road in Scottsdale and McDowell. I can guarantee you that Craig can find out what's wrong with your car.
Okay.
So, okay. And he's right, like I say, he's right there on the 101, which is Pima Road, 101 and McDowell on the north side of the road. That shop's been there for 50 years. And Carol Bell owned it, and then his daughter and her husband took it over. Craig is one of the best technicians I've ever met in my life. I would love to have him to work for me, but he owns his own shop. So Craig can find it, I promise you that. Okay?
Okay.
All righty. Good enough. Thank you very much. All righty. Oh, we got another caller. Who's that? Who's that?
Say hello to Larry.
Larry, good morning.
Hey, Mark. This is Larry. I live in Northeast Mesa. I need a brake job. Who can you recommend near Power and McDowell?
That is a very difficult area that I have always had problems with, because I have a 5-year rule that I need the shop under the same management and be 5 years. And the problem is that a lot of the shops in the East Valley are being bought and sold. Here's the best advice I can give you. I can't give you the name of a shop up there, but this is what I'd like you to do. Auto repair shops close to me, that's your query. And then as you look around, click on the auto repair shop icon and look for reviews. I don't want a guy that has 5 reviews and all 5 of them are 5 stars. That means that his mother and his daughter and his sister and his brother signed on. I want you to find somebody with 800 reviews that has a 4.2 star rating. And that would probably be a good place to start.
All right. Well, thanks for the advice.
All right.
Appreciate
it. Good luck to you, Larry. Good luck to you. It's tough out there. I've been around gas stations in Tempe since 1968, and frankly, it's a very difficult thing because there's lots of turnover in our industry. Who's next?
John.
John, good morning.
Hey, Mark. Speaking of the devil, I just drove past Bell. I was going to suggest it if you hadn't come up with it.
Thank you for that, though. Thank you for that. But it's kind of like a lightning bolt hit me in the head.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought I'd impart a little bit of knowledge based on something you said earlier. I've cleaned a lot of corrosion off of a lot of battery terminals.
Mm-hmm.
And fairly recently, I found the best liquid dissolving product for getting corrosion off of battery terminals.
Okay.
And it's going to sound strange, but I swear it works. Blue window cleaner, such as Windex.
Okay.
I'm using Windex at the moment, but, you know, store brands, Fry's works just fine. Sprayed on and it just, the corrosion just disappears.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That kind of information from somebody that has experience in this industry is very valuable. Folks, when you clean the battery cables, you have to clean both sides of the nut that holds the cable on. And people, as you know, John, they'll clean the terminal on the battery. But as far as the other end of that, they'll oftentimes forget that the backside of that small 5/16 nut and bolt needs to be cleaned where it hits the inside part of that cable. So, but that's really nifty because what you're saying is you can stick the cable right into that window cleaner and watch it work. And that's cool.
Well, using the pump sprayer, you can penetrate it into there.
Yes.
I got sent out to the far west side of the valley a couple days ago for a car that a couple guys bought the day before, drove it 4 hours. They parked it in a little strip mall and went to start it, and it was stone dead. So we couldn't get to it right away, and I got it the next evening. And I'm sitting there looking at the terminal. I flipped the plastic shell off the top of the positive terminal, and I could see like a faint little bit of fuzz on it. It turned out that it had been more heavily corroded, but a guy brushed the excess off the top there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I squirted a load of Windex in there and went to loosen the nut to take the terminal off and clean, you know, between the post and terminal, and it wasn't even tight enough to you know, as soon as I turned the wrench on it, the whole thing rotated. So I pulled it out, and the bolt was fused. It would not either loosen or tighten, but I was able to pinch the terminal with a pair of grips and get it oblong instead of perfectly round, and got it tight enough on the terminal to make contact.
That's and you
but
have
the wind,
perfectly described that process.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a positive terminal. Battery looked almost brand new, but who knows how long that corrosion been there.
All right, and the only thing I want to add to that, and this is the old man talking to me, okay? The only thing I want to add is when we've owned towing companies and service facilities, I teach my guys, or I don't teach them, I ask them. When you get there and it's a no crank, no start, no click, no nothing, the first thing I want you to do is turn the headlights on. And then as you're working around front, you're standing in front of the headlights, and all of a sudden you touch this, and all of a sudden the headlights come on. You've just found the bad connection.
Exactly.
And so to keep the headlights on is just an announcement that, hey, idiot, let me change it. Hey, Mark, the problem is here. And see, in your case, that's exactly what happened. The only difference is that at that point, I'm sure you just forgot to turn the headlights on because they would have shined right at the front of your pants, and you go, okay, well, here we are. And you know what the best part about this, and you'll agree with this, is the hero mentality. When you walk up, you swagger on up there, you open up the hood, little Grandma Moses is there, she hits the key, nothing happens. You walk over, you turn the headlights on, you grab the key, the terminal, the headlights come on, try it now. Yeah, you need to have your battery cables cleaned. And at that point, you're her hero for the rest of her life.
Because the car was a fresh purchase used car, even though I had it running and operational, they didn't trust it, and I didn't trust it, so I took it back to the dealer for them.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. That's we're supposed to. Go ahead.
It was just, you know, stone dead. There was nothing lighting up in the vehicle at all. That's why I first went to the battery, and that's when I saw that corrosion and stuff. And I thought, I think we're dealing with that.
No, you're right. When you don't have any interior lights, that's the key. But I got to run. I'm up against Gil. Do we have anybody else?
We have two callers, but we have 1 minute left.
Oh, I know. If you would give both of the callers my email address, mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com, only you know their names. So you're going to tell me their names off the air, but I'm going to wait for emails from them. And if folks, if you'll tell me how I can call you back, I will. I will call you in 10 minutes. And so if you're interested, and then we can have an exchange real quick about your car problem. I hate to leave callers that have been waiting a while. So Gil's going to give you my email address, mark@marksalem.com. You send me an email, tell me what your name is, and give me your phone number. And I call from a blocked line. So I call from a blocked line for obvious reasons. The last thing I need to do is be a 24-hour car guy on the phone, so you can understand that. For the rest of you, my email address, mark@marksalem.com. Our website's marksalem.com, and I appreciate you spending your Saturday with me. Please wear your seatbelt. Please wear your seatbelt, and please wear your seatbelt.